all this sermon and this series and hundreds of other series and sermons are on www.lifegatechurch.com. So you can go there and find just about anything you want to study or research, and it's there for you. And also, if you're looking for us on Facebook, you'll find us at two-word LifeGate. LifeGate, two words. If you're looking for LifeGate, you won't find us. It's LifeGate, two-word, LifeGate Church, and you'll find us. Well, we're talking about divine appointments and connections. We're learning that God has our days written in His book. That's what Psalms 139 says. Before you were born, the days were written. How long your life would be, what you would accomplish in your life, the people that you should meet in your life, and the prosperity and the success that you would have in your life. All that is recorded in Psalms 139, verse 16. And we learned in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 and 12, that God's got plans for us. All the plans that we're going to have in life, all the plans to prosper us, plans to give us hope in a future, plans for our futures. And that's going to take a lot of plans, and to fulfill all the many, many plans that God has for us, it's going to require many, many people. Now, these people are appointments that God has already set up. They are divine appointments, people that you will meet in life. And when you meet these people, they become a divine connection. And when you have a divine connection, it is life-altering. It is life-changing. It can be anything in your life. It can be like meeting your spouse. Your spouse is a divine connection. And it can be meeting a lifelong friend. It can be meeting someone who gives you an opportunity of a lifetime, an opportunity that actually changes your life. It can be being in a time of need on the side of the road or something, and somebody just stops and helps you because you have in a specific time of need. You may never know that person, but God has it all set up just for you, just for you. These are divine appointments and divine connections because God's got all these plans, and He's got it all written down for us. Now, these things have happened to nearly all of us, all the things that I've mentioned. If you're not married, there's still one for you. There's a divine appointment for you, for your spouse. But all these other things, I'm sure you've already experienced as you look back at your life. Now, these things are not accidental. They are not coincidental. They are divine appointments that God has for us. They are supernatural appointments and connections that God has planned for each and every one of us. And we all look back at our life and we see the supernatural hand of God moving in our life. Now, I've got you a whole lot more there in your recap that I've got there, but I just want to get into what I want to talk about today. What I want to talk about today is people you should meet and people you should miss or wished you had have missed. People you should meet are people that you should miss. Now, as we look back at our lives, we'll all see this. We've all experienced this. We look back and we see the people that we should meet and want to meet in life are the people who have kept us and direct our lives towards good. They have helped us get through the doors of opportunities. They have helped us stay on the road that God had for our lives. They have helped our lives have a hope, have a future. They have been there to encourage us all the way through life. These are people that we want to meet. Then there are the people that we have met that we wished we hadn't have met, the people that we should have missed. And by connecting with them, life doesn't do well. Life goes badly. We end up missing the doors of opportunity that God had for us. We are pulled off of the road that God has for us to walk down the best life we could have. They pull us off, and our lives are filled with hurt, with bad experiences, filled with grief, and it even seems like filled with demonic appointments and connections. Have you had one of those? And this is what I want to talk about, people that we should meet and the people that we should miss. They pull us away from the things of God. Now, we don't need any help there. It's difficult enough as it is to get through the doors of opportunity that God has for us. It's difficult enough to stay on the roads and the paths that God wants us to stay on. We don't need these people that we should miss messing with us and pulling our lives off course. Do you agree with me? So Jesus talks about this. He tells us a little bit about this in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7 of the book of Matthew. I want to read that to you, what he says. Matthew 7:13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Now, there are two gates he's talking about here. A narrow gate, and then a wide gate, or a broad gate, with a broad road that leads to destruction. And he goes on and he says, and many enter through it. That one's easy to find. You have no problems finding that gate and that road. But he says, but small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to what? Life. The life you want. The life God wants you to have. The life God has planned for you. The life God has made appointments for you and connections for you. To lead to that life, you got to get through this door, through this gate. And he goes on, and only a few find it. Why? Because it's difficult to find it. Why is it so difficult? Because there's people that we have met that we should have missed that have messed us up getting through the right gate and going down the right road. God wants us to find the right road and find the right path. And the primary thing that stops us from entering the life that God has planned for us are people that we should have missed that we met. Now, in our lives, the people that we met and the people that we missed and the people that we should have missed determine the life we have today. You are a product today of the people you have met and the people you have missed and the people you should have missed that you encountered years back. Let me say it one more time. The people that you have met, your product, your life is a product of the people you have met, the people you have missed, and the people that you should have missed years back. They've determined the life you have today. They direct the course of your life. This is vital. It's so important that we get this. They direct the course of our lives. And we look back and we can see that that was true in the past, and it's happening right now, and it will determine where your life ends up in the future. If we associate with people that we should meet, our life is happy, our lives are blessed, our lives are prosperous, we have a hope, we have a beautiful future, just like the Bible says. But if we associate with the people that we should have missed, life is not good. Life is full of bad experiences and hurt and grief and more people that we should have missed. Because the people that we should have missed are going to take us to more people that we should miss. If you want to avoid a life of hurt, bad experiences, a life of grief, and a life of bad people, understand that there are people that you should miss and people that you should meet. I was 7 years old. I was living in Miami, Florida. My parents moved to Griffin, Georgia. They were tired of the big city stuff and moved to this rural area outside of Griffin. Daddy and Mom bought a 40-acre plot of property. And Daddy wanted to do some farming, raise some cows and stuff. So he purchased this property and he began building a house. And when he got the house sufficient where we could move into it, we moved from the place we were to this new location. Well, while he was building, he noticed a bus going by, a school bus. It was number 28. Mr. Bevel drove that bus. He came by the house, and so he wrote down the number of the bus, and he found out that this bus went to the grammar school where I attended. So the logical understanding would be if Delbert Ray gets on that bus, he's going to go to the grammar school where he is attending. But what they didn't know is that there was this school in our community, the new community where we had lived, that they did not know existed. And the bus first would pick up the children in this community, take them, drop them off at this school, then go to another location, another school, get another load of children, and then take them to the grammar school that I used to attend, that I should attend, I thought I was attending. So this morning, I get on the bus. I board the bus, and I see nobody on this bus I know. I mean, I knew everybody at the other school, but I didn't see anybody that I knew on this bus. And it goes down these roads and this backcountry dirt roads and all these places, and I don't know where I am. And I end up at this building. Well, all the children get off, except me. I'm sitting there. And so the bus driver says, "Son, you got to get off here." I said, "This isn't my school." "Well, it is now." So there was another seven-year-old boy. He was watching this happen. And in fact, he was sitting with me, I think. And he said, "Come on, I'll take you to Miss Walker." She was our teacher. So I go with him. And she takes me and asks me the questions that I can't answer because I don't know where I am. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I am 7 years old. I am in this building I didn't know existed with these people I didn't know were alive. And I am lost. And I am upset. And she asked me for our phone number. And I said, "We don't have a phone." And so she didn't know what to do with me. So she writes a letter. And she writes it and she says, "Give this to your parents when you go home." I said, "Okay." So she gives me a desk, and I board the bus that afternoon, and I go back those roads and go, finally see my house, get off at my house, and go in, and I tell Mom and Dad, I said, I don't know where I was at today. What? You know, and I said, "I don't know, and here, the teacher said to give this to you," and they freaked out, and any parent would, right? I mean, where's your kid? You know, you don't even know they're somewhere they're not supposed to be, and, you know, and 7 years old, and somebody taking care of your kid, and you're freaking out. Well, she loads me up and makes the call to for the teacher's address house and takes me over. We find the school, and then she goes the next morning, and she gets everything straightened out. Now, but this seven-year-old boy that I met, he became a divine appointment and a divine connection in my life. His name is Durrell. It was Delbert and Durrell. And we were buddies. We hooked up. And we were best of friends in grammar school and then in middle school, which to us was junior high. And then in high school, we graduated together. And then after graduation, it was because of him I went to college. He came to me one day and he says, "Delbert, where are you going to college?" And I said, "I'm not going to college." He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "You got to go to college." I said, "Come on, you need to go. You're too smart not to go to college." Well, none of my other friends were going to college. I didn't need to go to college. "No, you need to go. I'm going up to this school." He told me where it was. He said, "Let's go up there, ride with me. We'll go up there and we'll fill out the papers and we'll take the test and evaluations and we'll see how it rolls out." I said, "Okay." So I went to college because of Durrell. My life was going forward. With Durrell, life was always good. I never got into trouble when I was walking with Durrell. When I was doing life with him, things were always prospering. I went to college because of him. I made good grades when I was walking with him. I was obedient when I was walking with him. I was a good kid. I did good things. Life looked good, and there was a future with Durrell. But when I would get with my other friends, it was like some demon took over. Was that my wife? It was like something happened to me. I became this rebellious, disobedient kid. I caused everybody grief. I hurt everybody. People that loved me and cared about me. I skipped school. My grades plummeted. I was just this awful person when I was walking with these. When I was hanging with these other people, when I was a companion with them. Now, the thing with Durrell is he was my only God friend. I had a lot of friends, but he was my only God friend. And he was an example to me all the way through all those schools and all that time together. I never saw him get drunk. I never saw him smoke anything, not anything. I never heard him cuss. I never heard him, watched him get angry. And he was like this amazing example to me all through life. Now, these other guys, They weren't that example, but he was my only God friend. Now, in your life, you've got Durrells, but you've got these other ones as well. You've got the people that you should meet, and you've got the people that you should have missed. And both of those influence your life. Both of those do. Here's what the book of Proverbs has to say along these lines. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says this. He who walks, now let's ingest this thing. Walk, so you're moving, you're going forward. He who walks with the wise grows wise. But a companion, you know, you're just hanging out. You're not going anywhere, you're just hanging out. But a companion of fools suffers harm. See, there are people that you should meet, and there are people that you should miss. One is going to take you to life, and one, and make you wise, and another is going to take you to destruction and make you dumb. I want to read that to you from the King James Version as well. In Proverbs 13:20 says this, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. They rub off on you. But a companion of fools shall be what? Destroyed. You walk in harm. You don't walk. You just hang out in harm. You hang out in destruction. If anything, you're not going forward when you're a companion of fools. If anything, you're deteriorating and you're going backwards. The only time you're going to go forward in life is with the people that you should meet. Wise people. And see, when you're walking with wise people, you avoid the fools, because wise people don't walk, don't companion, don't hang out with fools. Will God allow you to walk, because you're not walking, you're not moving, you're just being a companion, just hanging out. Will God allow you to be a companion with fools? Yes, he will. What does his plan want for you? Plan for you? Is it to walk with, be a companion with fools, or to walk with the wise? He wants you to walk with the wise. He wants us to walk with the wise, but if we want to walk, to be a companion with fools, we can be. But it's just going to take us to hurt. It's just going to take us to destruction. And you look back at your life, and this is what's happened to every single one of us. When we connected with people that we should miss, there was harm, there was grief in our lives. There were bad experiences, and there were more fools. We connected with more people that we should have missed. It's pretty amazing. And as I look back at my life, I see that I have walked with wise, and I have been a companion of fools. When I walk with wise, life goes well. Like we talked about, I'm walking in the plans of God for my life. I allow God, as Psalms 37 said, and we talked about it last time, that the Lord is directing my steps, and that he is getting this total delight in being involved in every detail of my life. When I'm walking with the wise, and I'm walking with the people that I need to meet in life, God has my times in his hands. He's taking care of them. When I'm walking with the wise, when I'm walking and with the people that I should meet, and I'm meeting the people that I should meet in life, when these things are going on, it's like the good shepherd of Psalms 23 that we keep referring to. There are green pastures. There are still waters and times of serenity. There are good things in abundance that happen in my life. When I'm walking with the wise, when I'm doing life with the people that I should meet, and I'm making connections with them, there are people always around me who restore me. I don't care how badly I mess up. They're there for me, and they encourage me, and they help me. And even through the worst of times, the valley of the shadow of death, as we travel through it, we go through it. Because the Lord is with me, and his rod and his staff, they comfort me. They give me protection. And I've been through so many times of the valley of the shadow of death that I came out nearly unscathed. Because I was walking with the wise. I was walking with the people that I need to meet. But the main thing about walking with the wise and doing life with the people that you should meet is because you avoid the people you should miss. Wise people don't become a companion of fools. But when I look back at my life and I see how I was a companion with fools, my life was going nowhere. Nothing but hurt and harm and destruction. All of my life, all I had was bad experiences. All I experienced in my life was grief and trouble and problems. Not going anywhere, and if anything, deteriorating and going backwards in life. This is so vital that we get it. But the worst thing about walking or doing life with people that you shouldn't meet and being a companion with fools is you meet more people that you shouldn't meet. You become a companion with more fools, and your life deteriorates worse. The Lord wants us to understand this, and He wants us to know that there's a difference. There are people that we should meet. There are people that we should miss. But there are people that we know we should have missed but didn't. And now we've got to make a decision on what we're going to do here with the people that we should have missed and we didn't. What are we going to do about that? How's that going to roll out? Was my getting on that bus that day just a happen chance? Was that just an accident? Was that something, just a coincidence? It wasn't to me. It wasn't to me. It was a divine appointment and a divine connection that God had planned for me. And so what I'm wanting you to see is that God has people and lined up for you, acquaintances in your life that become divine appointments and divine connections who will so impart into your life and be such an example for you and help you get through the right doors and walk down the right paths. But what I want you to hear me say is that that's going to happen for all of us. But what I really want to hear you parents and you grandparents to hear me say is that what we've got to do is show our children the difference. We've got to make sure they understand there are people in life they should meet. There are people in life they should miss. But there are people in life they will meet that they should have missed. And then they've got to make some decisions. Now they've got to do some things here. How do you work that? My wife was amazing at this. She helped our children so much. She had this discerning ability where she could just, she told them, I don't want you hanging out with him. There was one situation that our daughter had where she said, you are not seeing him. If we have to move from this city and that church has to fold, you are not seeing him. And she meant it. There are people you should meet, there are people you should miss, and there are people that you're going to meet that you wished you had missed, right? So I want you parents to understand that right now, ages 5, 6, 7, whatever, the Lord right now is bringing people into their lives that they should meet, but there's also people coming into their lives they've got to miss, and you have got to help them understand the difference. And you do that, of course, by your own examples as well. Now, in the Bible, we hear about a man, his name was Saul of Tarsus. He's a New Testament Saul. There's a Saul in the Old Testament, but there's a Saul in the New Testament. And he's a New Testament Saul. And he was a bad guy. He was a mean man. And as long as he was a companion of the Pharisees, the foolish Pharisees, he did horrible things. He persecuted Christians. He would arrest them, have them incarcerated. He was even one time consenting to a man to be stoned, stood there, watched this man, this godly man, be stoned to death. What a horrible death. Bleeding, head cracked open, and it's a horrible thing. He was consenting to that. And the Bible says that this Saul was destroying. He began to destroy the church. He was a bad guy. But the Lord had for him a divine appointment. The Lord had for him a divine connection. One day he was going to Damascus and he met somebody he really needed to meet. He met Jesus. It was a supernatural encounter. This is somebody we all need to meet. Because when we meet Jesus, things change in our life. Saul was supernaturally converted into Christianity and began to obey the will of the Lord. And the Lord had called him to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Saul really attempted to try to do this, but he was having problems. He came to Jerusalem and he wanted to be accepted. He wanted to get in with the apostles and in with the disciples and in with the church, but nobody would have him. Everybody was afraid of him. And they only thought it was just a plot by Saul to get in, discover who the leaders were, and cause more destruction in the church. So nobody would have anything to do with him. But God had a divine appointment and a divine connection already set up. So let me read this to you, and from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 26. When he, Saul, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But your Durrell, whoever it would be in your life who had the key to the door that he needed to go through, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He, Barnabas, told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them. He got entrance. He came in the door. He was able now to walk in the path that God had for him because of Barnabas. Barnabas was the key. Barnabas was the door, and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. Now, this encounter Saul had with Barnabas opened that narrow gate for Saul. And he was able to walk in and have the life that he wanted to have. He was able to walk in and fulfill the destiny that he wanted to fulfill. He was able to walk in and have the abundant life that God had planned out for him. This Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle. And this Paul the Apostle wrote half of the New Testament. The lives we live, the way we direct our lives, the way we direct our churches, is because of what Paul said, mostly. He's quoted every Sunday in nearly every church. Let me ask you something. How many of you feel like 2,000 years from now, they'll be talking about you? They'll be quoting you. Well, you know, Delbert said 2,000 years ago. I don't think so, do you? But they do Paul. They do Paul. Now, that's greatness. And God can take one Barnabas in your life and turn your life totally around and put you on the path to your greatness. All you need is one Barnabas in your life to take you and take you to a whole new level. One person. But on the same hand, the opposite can happen. One person can bring you to destruction. Do I need to get into much detail about Samson? He met one person. He had a supernatural birth. Angel of God came to his mom, came to his dad. You're going to have a son. They were barren. It was a supernatural thing. She became pregnant, had this boy named Samson, who was called to the ministry before he was even conceived. He was a powerful man of God, doing great things against the enemies of God. Until he met one person he should have missed. And that one person that he should have missed took him to destruction. Took away his vision, put him in bondage, and eventually took his life. The Bible tells us a lot about David, King David. King David had 8 wives that we know about. And these 8 wives gave him 19 sons and one daughter that is recorded. There had to have been more daughters, but only one is recorded. Her name was Tamar because she becomes very important in the story of David. His oldest son was named Amnon. Amnon thought he fell in love with Tamar, his half-sister. Same dad, different mom. And he wanted her. But he didn't want her for the right reasons. He wanted her for sexual reasons. So let me read you just a couple of verses about this story here. 2 Samuel 13:1. In the course of time, Amnon, son of David, fell in love with Tamar, the beautiful sister of Absalom, son of David. So she was his half-sister. Amnon's half-sister, Tamar. And he wanted her, but she's a virgin. And she's been protected. So Amnon is going around all mopey, all depressed because he can't get to Tamar. to satisfy his lust. But he has a friend that he should have never met. And the friend's name is Jonadab. Let me read you this verse. It's in verse 3. We just read verse 1, so it's only a couple of verses down. In 2 Samuel 13:3 says this, "Now Amnon had a friend named Jonadab, son of Shimei, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very shrewd man," or a very deceitful man. Now Jonadab gave Amnon an idea. He said, "What's wrong with you?" He came in one day, he says, "What's wrong with you? You're all depressed, you're all sad." And Amnon said, "I want Tamar." And he says, "Well, let's make it happen." So he come up with this plan. He says, call your dad, King David, and you pretend like you're sick. And tell him that you need Tamar to make you some chicken noodle soup so that you can get well." I don't know what she made him, but he wanted her to cook for him so he would get well. So David fell for it. And David told Tamar to go cook for Amnon. Well, while she was there, he raped her. He destroyed her life. She lived the rest of her life in just alone, just a lone woman. But she had a big brother named Absalom. And Absalom wanted something done with Amnon, but David didn't do anything. See, Amnon was next in line for the king, for the kingship, to have the throne of David. And David didn't do anything to Amnon. And Absalom didn't like that. He waited 2 years. David did nothing. So Absalom took things into his own hands. He set up an ambush. He set up an assassination for Amnon. And he had him killed. See, because of Jonadab, someone that Amnon should not have met, he lost his life. Let me tell you, you got friends. You got friends that you shouldn't have. And they will bring us to destruction. And they will bring us down, bring us to harm and hurt. See, one Barnabas can take your life to a whole new level and open up a door, a gate to a road that will change your life forever, cause you to be prosperous and happy and whole and have a hope and a future. But one person that you should miss, or that you met and didn't disconnect from, can take your life to destruction and hurt and harm. This is how it works in life. This is how it rolls in life. Now, you know, some of you may say, "Well, you know what, Delbert, that's true. I look back at my life and I have encountered and met some people that I should have missed. And now my life's a mess." It's three M's. You met them? You should have missed them. And now your life's a mess. "I guess I'm just going to be a mess the rest of my life." No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. See, God wants you to have a great life. And what you've got to do, first of all, is stop being a companion with fools. You got to break away from them. And you got to connect with the wise. And you got to walk with the wise, because they're going to take you to the doors and to the gates and to the roads and to the paths that God has for you. So you've got to do a disconnect here with the fools in your life. Right? And then what you got to do is what Jeremiah chapter 29 verses 11 and 12 says. You got to begin to seek the Lord. He says, when you understand that you got plans, when God's got plans for you and he's got a hope and a future for you, when you begin to understand this, he says, "If you will seek me and you'll pray," you begin praying. He says, "I'll listen. I'll listen." He'll begin to listen to you. And he'll begin to direct your steps. He'll begin to get involved in every detail of your life. And you're going to find your life totally taken to a new level. Right? But you got to do those two things. And God will take your mess and turn it into a miracle. Leader in our church, Doug Aker, 31 plus years ago now, was in a very, very bad marriage. It was a deceitful situation. And Doug fought for his marriage. He wanted his marriage to work. He fought hard, but his wife would have nothing else but divorce. And so they divorced. For about a year, Doug had a friend. He kept asking Doug, said, "Doug, go out. Let's come on, get back into life." You know, Doug says, "No, I'm just a mess. I'm just a mess. I don't want to be with anyone. I don't want to see anyone. I don't want to do nothing." So Doug kind of hermited up for about a year. Guy kept calling him and saying, Doug, I got this woman, this date, and you could have a blind date and go off with us, double date. And Doug said, no, not interested at all. Well, one day, this friend encounters this very beautiful brunette named Linda. And she says to Doug's friend, do you know anyone I might like? And he says, well, you know what, dude? Now, Linda herself had gone through a very traumatic and bad marriage, had been divorced for 8 years. Doug's friend calls him, says, hey, Doug, got this good-looking woman. I'd like for you to meet. Go out. We'll go off on a double date. You know, it's a blind date for him, double date, and we'll just see how it rolls out. When Doug said he doesn't understand exactly why, but he said, okay. He said, okay, I'll go. Later on, after he'd hung up the phone, he said, I wanted to get out of it. I wanted to cancel the whole thing. He kept trying to call his friend and get out of it. And, of course, his friend, Doug says, this is before cell phones. So he was trying to get out of it, but his friend wouldn't return his call or wouldn't answer because I'm sure he knew Doug was going to cancel. Anyway, Doug ended up fulfilling the date and showing up, met Linda. And the first night, they just drove around, kind of got acquainted and had a relationship, and he liked her and she liked him. So that was a double date that night. But the next night, it wasn't a double date. They're going to get together again. So Doug picks Linda up. And this time, it's a single date, but he takes her dancing. Now I want you to know, God can turn your mourning into dancing. He can turn your mess into a miracle. Yeah. So they were together. So they went, this one thing happened after another, and a year later or so, they ended up getting married. And here's what Doug says today. Now, this was 31 years ago. He said, we have been blessed with 4 daughters, 8 grandchildren, and 7 great-grandchildren. The first go-around, we did it our way, and it failed. This time, we put God first, and He has blessed us greatly. See, God can take your mess and turn it into a miracle. I just come to town. I'd only been in my ministry a couple of months. We were meeting in the little block building, and it was a Sunday night, and there were only 7 or 8 rows of pews, tiny little building, and a tiny little church. And I'd shared that night, and I'd finished speaking. I looked out, and a woman in the back. And Doug and Linda would sit on the back row to my right. A woman in the back had her hand up, and it was Linda. I said, yes, Linda. And she says, can I give a testimony? I said, sure. So she stood up, and she said, I want to thank God for bringing me a great husband. He is a wonderful man. He loves me. He loves everything. You know, and she just goes on and on and on about how great and how wonderful Doug is. Now, I didn't know them. I had just met them. I didn't know their story. I didn't know they had just gotten married. But that was 31 years ago. 30 years ago for me at this particular time. And what happened is I agree with Linda today. She did. God did bring her a great husband. And God did bring him a great wife. God did minister to them. God brought her, and she should meet Doug. And Doug should meet Linda. But you see, I should meet Doug. And I should meet Linda. They were divine appointments and connections to me too. You never know where it's going to happen or when it's going to happen. But there are people that you should meet and people that you should miss in life and people that you have met that you need to miss. What God will do is He'll take these things, these times, and turn mourning into dancing, and turn messes into miracles if you'll just break away from some of those bad connections that you have. And you'll look for the people that you should meet and stay away from the people that you should miss. What these people do, the people that you meet, the people that you miss, and the people that you wished you had missed, determine your life today. We are all products of people that we met, people that we missed, and people that we wished we had missed. And God, you look at your life, it was in the past, it's happening right now, and it's going to determine your future. Which will you do? Walk with the wise, or just be a companion of fools? Let's pray.